B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Johnny Gargano, you traitor, you sellout. How dare you? How dare you come down to the ring, cost Tommaso Ciampa his NXT championship that he never lost? Who the hell do you think you are? Adam Cole stole this win. He should cut that title into fifths just to share it with himself, Gargano, and the rest of the Undisputed Era. Those thieves, those criminals. It's a hell of a story, hell of a main event with Mike Riley, James Stewart.
That was great storytelling. So much.
Just a fabulous match, crooked finish. You know, now Gargano is the villain going against Ciampa. Adam Cole retains in what was a top-notch main event for NXT TakeOver Portland. Good stuff here. Good finishes. Just an overall fabulous show. And it was a good way to get Ciampa into something that doesn't involve the title.
Yeah.
And it's a different swerve to the Ciampa Gargano story now. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially like they're making a new match out of it.
Yep.
Coming out of, I mean, realistically, like I thought Ciampa was going to win because it completes the story, but you're going to win a world title in Portland, Maine? Not Portland, Maine. Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't, like you've got WrestleMania around the corner and they're going to put the belt on you in Portland. Like I don't think so. But I wanted it to win. Mike, what'd you think of the main event with Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa?
Unbelievable storytelling. I mean, just on the edge of your seat the whole time. Tommaso Ciampa, I mean, I seriously had a concern for him when he hit his neck on the back of the broadcast table at one point. And, you know, Mar Rinaldo sold it very well, told the story on it with the surgically repaired neck. Just reminding everyone of that and just being in that moment there, it's like, oh my God, that's right. Not that you don't remember it, but you really remember it the way they emphasized
the
it.
The scary moment for me was when Cole did the wheelbarrow suplex onto the announce table. When Ciampa landed on the floor, he held his neck with one hand, and he was trying to get the feeling in his other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was just a strong sell by him or whether he was really having issues.
Well, and it's just
and where it's wrestling, you're not sure.
Yeah.
But I felt his pain. And for me, it's personal because it's personal with me with him. So
no, of course. I know your investment with him and that's a really awesome thing. And I think also too that, you know, that's not a surgery that's an everyday thing. That's a career ending surgery here that happened less than a year ago.
And he came back early from it.
He came back early. It's incredible. So that really had me going there. You know, when the Undisputed Era came out, I was like, oh, no, you can't give me this kind of finish. I was really mad. I was really furious when they came out. And but to see what happened here with Johnny Gargano, to set that up there for a feud down the line, I think that's great. But good match all around. These two guys, oh, my God, Adam Cole on pace already. I mean, we're not even a quarter of the year through 2020. He's on pace already to be Superstar of the Year. And that says a lot for his the way
it would
he's
be a repeat
to,
for him.
Well, exactly. For our voting here and a lot of people. Yeah, exactly. The PWI said that as well. But I think that this is a real big step in the right direction for a WrestleMania. WrestleMania, and I'm saying that with a fantasy booking here, I would love to see Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa go one-on-one at NXT TakeOver in Tampa, and the winner would then get Adam Cole at WrestleMania. So he would essentially have a bye, and that's like your semifinal match in there. But you may get a triple threat match in there for WrestleMania, but you got to do something for TakeOver, though. You got to consider that as well.
No, I would probably say for TakeOver, it's Gargano, Ciampa, and then Adam Cole is fighting somebody else. Maybe it's Velveteen Dream.
Okay.
It all depends on what they're doing with the Undisputed Era after WrestleMania, and that's
true.
That's the speculation. Do they go to Raw? Do they go to SmackDown? Are they staying in NXT? If they're staying in NXT, you keep the title on Adam Cole. Right. If Undisputed Era is going to Raw or SmackDown, then you have to figure out the moment and who your next franchise guy is. If it's not going to be Ciampa or Gargano beating Adam Cole, is it Finn Balor getting the NXT championship? Because he looks strong.
Well, that was a huge win for him.
Is it Velveteen Dream, 24 years old, has all the tools?
Right.
Could he go on a run with the championship? But just to let everybody know who may not have watched it, hopefully you did, Gargano came down at the end of the match. He prevented Tommaso Ciampa from using the NXT belt, which had been slid into the ring by the Undisputed Era. Gargano clocked Ciampa in the head, and Adam Cole covered for the win. Great near falls, great brawling, good action all
just
throughout the match.
The
just and Ciampa's selling of the neck and Adam Cole's target of the neck, continuing the story from NXT where he painted the X on the back of Tommaso Ciampa's neck and he went for it. Good wrestling here. Good easy storytelling, something you can understand.
And just had the feel that Ciampa was going to win too.
That promo,
But even just at one point with the his finishing move there, at one point when Mauro Ranallo said, "This is a bigger comeback than Lazarus." What a line! Unbelievable.
A little strong.
I thought it was a great line. Unbelievable. And you know, Goldie's coming home 1-2, and it's just a two count. It was amazing on the edge of your seat. So exciting. So this again. Very early in the year, this is a very strong candidate for match of the year already, and I'm very excited to see what's going to happen with Ciampa and Gargano, their storytelling, because a year ago at NXT TakeOver the night before, or two nights before WrestleMania, he's hanging out with Gargano. He's got his back there after he beats Adam Cole, and now here they are a year later, they're going to be feuding at TakeOver on WrestleMania weekend.
Well, there are two points I want to talk about when it comes to Adam Cole before we transition to our next points on NXT TakeOver Portland.
Yep.
Adam Cole is a villain. He's a natural villain. Tommaso Ciampa is a villain. And they're trying to make it personal with his family and what it's about and all that stuff. So the comeback story for Ciampa is natural. And, you know, I'm into it because I'm Team Ciampa.
Yep.
But I just feel like these two should both be on the evil side of things. That's just how I feel about them. That's how I view them. Ciampa's villain work historically through NXT and through different companies is tremendous, and Adam Cole's just a natural at it.
Right.
So that's one point. It was weird, like trying to separate them both being in their best spots as villains. I think they're natural at it.
Yeah.
Adam Cole's resume as NXT champion, you add Tommaso Ciampa to this list. He beat Gargano in Bridgeport, a match that I was there live for. Amazing. If you want to tell me that match where Cole wins the title in Bridgeport was better than the 2 out of 3 fall match in Brooklyn, WrestleMania weekend, I won't fight you on it. Cole survives Gargano 2 out of 3 falls in Toronto. Adam Cole beats Daniel Bryan live on SmackDown. Cole beats Pete Dunne at Survivor Series. Adam Cole beats Finn Balor to end 2019. Adam Cole's run has been really, really strong. And kudos to him for going to a bunch of different places. He was successful in PWG, Ring of Honor, and now he's being successful in NXT. And it's a matter of, I think it's a matter of when he gets switched to Raw or SmackDown, not if.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if he even wants to, I don't know if he, you know, maybe he wants to advocate to stay in NXT because that's becoming the trend now for a lot of these guys to stay. I don't know if he wants to go to Raw or to SmackDown, good for him. But don't be shocked if you see him stay on the NXT brand. That might just be the case.
At the end of the day, the old man being Vince McMahon is going to decide where you work.
Yeah, he'll have the last call. He'll have the last.
He'll have yeah. if he wants Undisputed Era on Raw or SmackDown, he's going to get Undisputed Era on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, they're going to get there. Yeah, but just a good, really good storytelling all around, and it just sets up so much possibility here. With less than 50 days going into the WrestleMania weekend and TakeOver Tampa. So some really, really good stuff with what the Undisputed Era did and the way they interfered in that main event. So Adam Cole holds on to the title, but Ciampa and Gargano can't wait for this feud to pick up again.
Rhea Ripley retained her NXT Women's Championship over Bianca Belair. Ripley pinned Belair clean with a Riptide finisher. Charlotte Flair ran in post-match, attacked Ripley, attacked Belair as well, and Charlotte agreed to face Ripley at a match at WrestleMania for the NXT Women's Championship, which is good because I found out that Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley segment gained almost 50,000 viewers when it was on. So Charlotte Flair did make a difference going to NXT, and she's going to make a difference here as NXT will definitely have a match at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Belair and Ripley was a good, aggressive, hard-hitting match. Belair, to me, screams like she has this it factor, and it's a matter of time before she's a focal point of any three of the brand's women's championship. Mike, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, no, just, again, a really good match. This whole card was top to bottom. But seeing, you know, the way they were able to perform there, Belair, what she did at the Royal Rumble, and now here on the main stage of NXT for the women's title. I mean, I don't think it's you. I still think you're going to get the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
One-on-one with Charlotte and Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, but you know, you might see Belair have an interference, or they throw it in as a triple threat. That could happen for the NXT Women's Championship at WrestleMania, because Charlotte did, you know, shove her down there at the end, walking out of the arena tonight at NXT TakeOver Portland. Maybe that's a foreshadow. I won't be surprised, but her future is really good. But Rhea Ripley, man, holy cow. She's 23 years old. The future is so damn bright for her. It's unbelievable. She's almost 6 feet tall. If we're going to get a one-on-one match with her and Charlotte, that could be on paper going into it. I don't want to overhype anything at all. That could be on paper. Match of the year going into it. It could be. I'm really excited for that one-on-one. But if we are to see Bianca Belair in there as a potential three-way match, I'd be more than fine with that. No issue with that. So what we saw tonight, though, Charlotte coming out of there saying, I accepted it, major heel, best thing for the queen, riding that ego. It's the best character Charlotte can have as a villain, as a heel. It is perfect. I love Charlotte when she is the bad guy, the heel, and that's exactly what she is going into WrestleMania here with Rhea Ripley.
Charlotte as the bratty entitled queen is the best Charlotte.
Absolutely. So this is perfect. And I think this is going to be, I'm really excited for that match if it's one-on-one. And like I said, if it's a triple threat, no issue with that.
I do have one question coming out of this.
Okay.
Is Rhea Ripley now not working NXT TakeOver in Tampa?
I was thinking the same thing because you can't, she is the women's champion. And yeah, that's why I think you have the Gargano situation, and you know, maybe put Cole on another. You're gonna have to fill that card without her. Or Belair, maybe if she's not in the triple threat, she'll be in the main event of the women's one, maybe a number one title contender shot winner at the takeover to face whoever is the NXT champion after WrestleMania.
Because Adam Cole at Survivor Series had a cover, as War Games was the night before, so his championship was not in jeopardy to be defended at Survivor Series.
Okay.
Can they promote Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley and still have Rhea Ripley defending the NXT championship at TakeOver? It's a hard trick to pull because you're kind of telegraphing it.
It's very tricky. And we're not talking like, okay, Adam Cole, him fighting at the Survivor Series, good match, but this is a huge one.
Adam Cole had a great match with Pete Dunne at Survivor Series.
I'm not saying that's nothing that it wasn't a good match, but what I'm saying here, going into the fact that this is WrestleMania, this is Charlotte Flair, who is at the top of the women's branch.
She's the best female worker of all time.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's been on the main event roster. Pete Dunne has not been on the main event roster, so this is a huge deal. That's why there's a very good chance she will not be at the TakeOver show, Rhea Ripley.
That to me would be a mistake, because you have to, even if you have to do double duty that weekend, tough. That's the way it is.
Yeah, but you know what? Yes and no, because you need her to be healthy. You need her to be healthy. What if there's a screw up? But also, you've told us, you've made us believe as fans, that NXT is your third brand. And it's no longer a development, it is a brand. And when you have Charlotte Flair, who wins the Royal Rumble, and she accepts a challenge from the NXT Women's Champion, your champion has to be healthy to take on the Queen. She deserves a night off at TakeOver.
So do they bring the NXT UK Women's Champion in, and that's your Women's Championship?
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Good chance to showcase it, because you have the TakeOver in the UK now in Dublin, Ireland later.
Or here's an idea. You have the UK champion against the States again. And you do another series of champion versus champion, non-title. That way you get Rhea Ripley on NXT TakeOver in Tampa, and then you still have Charlotte Flair fighting Rhea Ripley for the NXT championship at WrestleMania.
And maybe if you also want, you could have a women's battle royal. Winner gets title shot.
You still need Rhea Ripley on the show.
Eh, well, if they're putting her and Charlotte together, I don't think it's going to happen.
You can't compromise these takeovers like that. You got to do something. You got to balance it out.
What is she
going to
do? Who's she going to fight?
I just told you they can do champion versus champion.
But I mean, like, all right, I get that. But like, is that really going to? They need her healthy.
You know what, Mike? Here's an idea for you. You want to really like throw a wild card in there?
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler, NXT Tampa TakeOver the night before. Right? The winner fights Charlotte Flair. The loser gets Becky Lynch.
I mean, that's a great...
So if Shayna Baszler regains her NXT championship, she fights Charlotte Flair. That's still a top match on WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley loses, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch is still a good fight for WrestleMania.
You know what I wish they did after hearing that scenario? Just put Rhea Ripley on the NXT TakeOver show, which I do like that scenario, James. And at that point, you put Ripley, Baszler, Becky, Charlotte, Fatal 4-Way at WrestleMania.
I'd rather have them one-on-one, but I won't fight you on it. Just because the last time the women were in a 4-Way match was Orlando.
Yeah.
And
it was...
What do you remember most about that 4-Way match in Orlando?
Nothing.
It was Charlotte won. What's that?
Didn't Charlotte win?
Nope, Bayley won.
Bayley won. Okay, yeah.
Charlotte's entrance was last. Sasha came down on some fancy schmancy thing. And they triple team Nia Jax, eliminated her. Death Taxes and Charlotte beats Sasha Banks. And then the middle turnbuckle was ripped off and Charlotte went face first into it and Bayley dropped an elbow and she retained the Raw Women's Championship.
So again, what do you remember it? Nothing.
You made totally my erased. No, you made my point, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Somebody,
you know what? I do like your fantasy book in there, James. I do like that. I respect it.
Somebody who made a huge statement at NXT TakeOver Portland was Finn Balor. Dream matchup, him and Johnny Gargano. Not a shock. This was awesome. The finish saw Balor give Gargano a gourd buster on the announce desk. Balor then ran down the announce desk to give Gargano a shotgun dropkick into the floor barricade. Balor throws him back in. Balor throws Gargano back into the ring. Coup de grace. Then delivered the 1916 DDT. Pins Gargano. Strong statement by Finn Balor here, who, if you're asking me about booking for WrestleMania weekend, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, that's got to be your NXT championship match, I think. Mike, what do you think about the match? What do you think about another scenario for TakeOver?
Yeah, no, again, great match here between the two. Johnny Gargano just, he sells everything so good. And, you know, a statement win there for Finn Balor, like you said, but just a huge, as Gargano going into that match or even during that match, like a real baby face. Now at the end of the show, obviously not the case, but it was just a perfect way to capitalize Finn Balor there and to make him so more prominent and more appreciated. So that really is a big one for him. I thought it was a really technical match for a little bit, or not technical, but a real back and forth match, a little slow at first, but it back and forth. They were going out to the outside there, the drop kicks and so forth against the barricade. Very exciting, good finish all around. But yes, I'd love to see Finn Balor go up against Adam Cole at a TakeOver or Mania weekend if it happens at one of the two. That'd be perfect scenario.
And it would be a rematch of the match that ended 2019 of Balor versus Cole, which we're all supposed to forget.
Right. It would make the most sense.
It would absolutely make the most sense. Just the story of Finn Balor is kind of incredible. Comes in with a lot of international promise, a lot of international success, gets a long run as NXT champion, of course, loses the title to Samoa Joe here in Lowell, then gets pushed as the Universal Champion. Once he gets moved from NXT to Raw, he gets hurt in the match. He wins the Universal Championship. Takes him a long time to get back to an important spot. Finally gets the Intercontinental Championship, which isn't the spot that it should have been for Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And then he's back at NXT, and he's a franchise player in NXT. And it kind of tells the story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That success isn't necessarily a straight line, and things don't always work out as you plan them to, but I think Finn Balor is a perfect fit for NXT, and maybe this is the way it should have ended up for Finn Balor.
So crucial to the brand. He's just so important for them, and he is the epitome of NXT. He really is. And yeah, you talk about his run there, that brief for inaugural Universal Champion. I mean, even when he did come back, I mean, you know, he had that feud there with Bray Wyatt. That was really bad and boring, and it's like, oh, just no identity. So he's found that reinvention of himself, and you know, the feud with Gargano, the way he turned on, great storytelling. That was a good storytelling way going into this match here, and the way they both, you know, told the story tonight in their TakeOver match was excellent. But you know, he's able to do that in NXT, which was kind of under the radar on the main roster for Raw and SmackDown. So good for Finn Balor, reinventing himself, being where he belongs. This is his home, NXT.
There was another match that really showcased a star, and it's a star if you're in the New England area, you know about. It's Dominik Dijak. Keith Lee retains the North American Championship over Dominik Dijak. This opened the show, and again, on a personal level, I'm so happy that Dominik Dijak was given a feature spot on TakeOver. He, of course, was in War Games and has been featured on USA's NXT for a while, but the entire world got to enjoy or feast their eyes on a talent that New England wrestling fans have been able to enjoy for a long time. Keith Lee gave Dijak so much in this match. A suplex on the apron, a corkscrew moonsault, a Death Valley driver off the top rope. Dijak did a springboard senton off the top rope into Keith Lee in a chair at ringside. The Spanish fly off the top rope. Just a wonderful showcase for Dijak, who's 6'7" and moves like a cruiserweight. I'm just so happy. I wish he would have won, but just so happy that he got to do all of that in a match with Keith Lee, who has just star. He just has franchise star written all over him. It's just a matter of he gets that time to be that star. Mike, what'd you think about Dominik Dijak versus Keith Lee for the North American Championship?
Yeah, you know, James, this match set the tone for the show. It really did. And once they got into the groove, good finish all around, like you said, back and forth. Even getting Keith Lee up there in the suplex on the top of the turnbuckle, taking him down at one point. That was unbelievable showcase by Dominik Dijakovic, I should say. We should give him the appropriate new name, but it is Dominik Dijak. Always will be.
It's Dijak to me. Sorry.
I know. No, I know. Hey, we saw him in his last show at Chaotic. Shout out to them back in summer 2017. And, you know, Keith Lee, for how he was able to sell himself with Dijakovic there tonight was really good. That put over Dijakovic, and it helps him out to get to that next level, I guess, if he's going for a title run. Maybe he's one of the guys that's going to put a challenge up. He said, okay, well, I can't win the North American one, so I want to be a number one contender for the NXT championship. That could happen here. Maybe he gets a match with Finn Balor to get to Adam Cole. That, again, building his profile even more. But awesome storytelling, great match all around. Just awesome with Dijakovic going over the ropes there, like we said, onto the table, the flip there. The chair, rather. Unbelievable athleticism by this guy. And really happy for him to open up a takeover show like that and to get that spotlight. Great opportunity for him. So didn't win, like you said, but a really good opportunity for Dijakovic.
And two women who were in a tough spot were Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai. They had a street fight. What I loved about it was it started with an ambush, Mike.
Yeah,
it's a personal issue. Ambushed. To hell with the ring introductions. and they followed it well. Just pure violence. Two women, tough act to follow, innovative offense, aggressive moves, chairs, trash cans, paddles. The finish was scary and looked really bad. Raquel Gonzalez, who was promoted as a standout at the Performance Center, interfered through Tegan Nox off the top rope onto a table, which didn't break, missed, just looked really bad, looked really dangerous. But overall, good street fight and in a tough spot, too.
Yeah, very tough after that big match there with Dijakovic and Keith Lee. And then, you know, Tegan kind of had a little moment when she goes, I'm not done yet. And then Dakota was kind of still struggling with her as, you know, she put Tegan back on the table inside the ring. And again, it just sets up another storyline here for Gonzalez. Going after Tegan into the table there. So it's kind of a weird alliance, if you will, at the end there with Dakota and her. But, tough spot. It was one of those popcorn matches, if you will. Even though it was a street fight match, it didn't have the same momentum as the first one. But they delivered, and overall, good match.
Mike, NXT does not have popcorn matches.
Well, it would have been in that slot.
You do popcorn matches on your own time. You do that with the main roster. You do that with WrestleMania, well, and you do that with Raw and SmackDown. NXT does not have popcorn matches.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because you know what? It was just so refreshing, because it was the first takeover since the Royal Rumble. And well, with the Royal Rumble, of course, they had the UK. When Worlds Collide. Yeah, exactly. But this was the first takeover, essentially, of 2020 here. And just seeing it flow so good, not a lot of stuff in between the matches. You moved right along, 3-hour show. It was fantastic. And James, I don't know if you looked down at your phone, but at the start of this broadcast you and I are having right here, our friend Joe Murray texted both you and I, and he said, how does NXT do this better than WWE? The storytelling, the matches, the crowd. It's the best promotion going, no doubt. Couldn't have said it better. They've moved it right along, and you know why? Because less is more. That's all. This is a perfect thing.
Well, and it's also the fans are there to have a good time. They're not there to nitpick.
Yep.
And it's central focused pro wrestling, which
yep.
is what I'm a fan of. Like, I understand that Vince McMahon is an entertainment company. He is the circus. NXT and Triple H, they're a pro wrestling company.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, when AEW started, they're like, we're going to do pro wrestling. We're a wrestling company. And NXT has actually done pro wrestling better than AEW said that they were going to.
Yeah.
Because NXT is about matches and personal issues. AEW is about matches and personal issues, but they have Luchasaurus and the alien, Chris Statlander.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to do a balance of character development that are a little cartoonish, the Dark Order for one.
Right, right.
And keep it with, you know, Kenny Omega is the best wrestler in the world. Chris Jericho is this legend who's the champion, who's yep. still one of the best talkers. And NXT is like, hey, Tommaso Ciampa never lost the NXT championship. He's coming back for it. And oh, by the way, it's because his family and his neck injury, and now his best friend who feuded with him, now they're back to feuding again.
Right.
And, right. you know, Velveteen Dream is kind of a cartoon character, but he's one of the best workers in the world.
Awesome.
Finn Balor's back as the evil prince that he was when he was touring the world.
Right.
And
right.
him and Gargano have an issue over who is professionally better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox have a street fight because these are two best friends and one of them turned on the other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And exactly. Keith Lee and Dijak are having a match that they've had a million times over for regional promotions and more recently on USA Network. And they right. were partners at War Games, but this is about the championship, the North American championship, and two people who have mutual respect for each other competing for that.
Yeah.
And that's why NXT is awesome, because it's a pro wrestling company. It's very different. And that fan attitude is mm-hmm. just very different, too. It's not a matter of, like, what's Vince going to do to screw this up? Oh, we have to watch... Oh, what was that terrible bit that they did at Raw in Boston with Strowman and the Saturday Night Live people?
For WrestleMania. Yeah.
Or it's you know, putting, you know, the one that I always go to is Goldberg having a wig put on him. Or stupid nonsensical thing is Vince McMahon being like, JD Powell, this is going to be great. Like,
how about JR getting the thing out of his ass there in the surgery, right?
Right. You know, things that just are...
Or Mae Young giving birth to a hand.
Are writers just trying to pop Vince instead of, like, this is continuous storytelling.
Yes.
Like, the Gargano-Ciampa story has been great all along, and now it's got another twist to it.
Yeah, it's huge.
And we'll see where it goes, because the last one never got completed.
Yeah.
Because of Ciampa's neck injury. So,
right.
We'll see. But that's something to answer Joe's text message.
Oh,
that's why.
No. And the whole product here, like you said, just the whole product in general. Answer that to any new fan, for that matter, too. Because NXT, you know, as we said, it was a stream before, pretty much. And now it's just opened up a whole new audience. Weekly television. It's weekly TV. And it's a new thing for them to be invested in and kind of go back on here that did not know the whole story there of Gargano and Ciampa. They didn't know the whole story about Finn Balor being in there before. Even Charlotte. Now they see her as the queen, but she's starting in NXT. And this is where it all began. And now some of them are returning, and they've gone full circle. It's the third brand, essentially.
You know, and they're trying to work in the UK workers like Walter. Walter's this big giant who I'm not really in love with, but...
I like Walter.
He's just another – I'm just not a Walter guy.
No, that's fine. That's fair.
And probably I should be because there's talent there, but I'm just not emotionally invested in Walter.
I hear you.
You know, but not every worker sings to me, right? Like that's – wrestling is a personal experience. And
that's right.
You know, Elias sings to me.
Yes.
You know, just to wrap up the NXT portion, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne beat Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish for the NXT Championship. I didn't love, speaking of things I didn't love, I don't love the Bobby Fish rhyme, but the crowd seemed to like it. And Pete Dunne, who I love, he's a personal favorite. And look, part of my dislike for Walter is the fact that he beat Pete Dunne for the UK title back at NXT Brooklyn. And yes, I'm still bitter about it. I hold grudges. I'm okay with it. I can deal with it. But Pete Dunne, who I love, has very little personality. So it made sense that you put Dunne and Riddle together and Matt Riddle, who has tons of personality, in fact, too much personality, and it just works. And the other thing is when Dunne and Riddle, the new NXT Tag Team Champions, break up, it's going to be a hard-hitting program because they're just going to smack the hell out of each other. But the hot tag for the key part of the match for me was Riddle had about a 60-second span after that hot tag where he's throwing corner forearms and kicks and suplexes, and it all ended with a German suplex into a bridge for a near fall. Like that's the type of explosive offense. And more to the point is, like a 60-second span of that type of offense is what really makes NXT different from Raw and SmackDown.
Yep, and you could just tell when that finish is coming up consistently. It could, you know, you'd have a good one for like a 2-minute span instead of like that 30-second one there on a Raw or SmackDown one. So you get a good final 2 minutes a lot of the time of the matches on the NXT. And, you know, I thought that if the Broserweights had lost, you'd see that breakup there, and you'd get Dunne and Riddle feuding into TakeOver Tampa. You know, but all indications now are that with the Undisputed Era, the, you know, titles changing hands, they're going up to the main roster at some point. So that's what I took from there on that sense, but it will happen eventually. It may happen at SummerSlam in Boston that weekend. It could happen going into that when they get that feud, Riddle and Dunne. But overall, again, another good performance here by all four of the performers in that particular match.
I took Undisputed Era losing the tag team titles as, oh, Adam Cole's going to lose too. So it served as a red herring for me.
Yeah, well, he should have lost, but... You know, it is what it is. I know you weren't too happy about that.
Nope, Gargano. That
Johnny G.
That crook, that criminal, that turncoat.
See, I mean,
I can't do it with a straight face. I tried. I really did try. I couldn't do it. I tried to do another Charlotte Flair thing.
Who's worse? Who's worse, Johnny Gargano or Bayley?
Oh, Bayley by far. I think I actually thought about this because SmackDown's in Boston in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I thought about having a sign that says "Been booing Bayley since May 19th," and put like a little photo of her sitting next to me, gloating with her new championship and just my frowny face.
Do it.
I got 2 weeks. We'll see if I can find a cost efficient sign maker.
There you go, good man.
Maybe I'll do a T-shirt.
Yeah, put the feelers out here on the show right now.
Yeah, you know, we're looking for a title sponsorship.
Yes.
So that is NXT TakeOver Portland. Before we wrap up, there's some WrestleMania stuff that I want to talk about. You have a lightning round and then a match, WrestleMania match everybody should watch.
Yeah, and I gave 5 stars out of 5, the show.
Okay, you do stars on your own time, Dave Meltzer. Speaking of Dave Meltzer, we know WrestleMania is coming up. We're, what, 60 days away, Mike? You seem to have the countdown.
48.
48 days away from WrestleMania in Tampa. We know 2 matches are official. It's Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. It's Rhea Ripley defending the NXT Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair. And according to Dave Meltzer, John Cena will be at WrestleMania. His opponent, Elias. Ugh. So you're groaning.
I mean,
I think the world groans because we all had higher expectations for John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It is at least a continuous storyline because they had the rap battle from WrestleMania in New York last year and the year before, which people seem to forget, John Cena... Elias interrupted John Cena right before John Cena got routed by The Undertaker.
Yep.
So they at least have a continuous storyline here. My guess as to why this is happening is because John Cena sees something in Elias and he wants to have a match with him to bring that out. I can't see Vince letting John Cena lose at WrestleMania. But I think John will try.
Yeah. Well, he's the kind of guy that just wants to put them over. And, you know, like we saw a couple of years ago there with The Undertaker telling that story here with Elias continuing that. It's a perfect spot for Elias. You can't go wrong on that. I mean, I think that's a great scenario for him for his career. I know they had a match on Christmas Day a few years ago on Raw or 2 years ago, I think, in Chicago. It was okay, nothing special, but again, for Cena being that kind of guy he is to put someone over, you know, am I into it? Am I invested? But he hasn't been on the main card. We haven't heard from him on the microphone challenging anybody since The Undertaker at WrestleMania 34. I mean, WrestleMania 35, it comes out, it does a rap show. That's it. There's nothing there. Nothing. So,
Cena's last match in WWE was losing to Finn Balor.
Huh?
On a Raw.
Oh, okay. But we haven't heard from him, though, like on a real specific challenge for something like that. So if he's going to challenge Elias here, returning at the SmackDown in Boston, February 28th, which ironically enough, of course, hometown, day after the Saudi Arabia show, little insurance perhaps.
Yeah,
right?
It's totally, yeah. It's insurance because you know you have a talent there who can talk for 20 minutes and have it be entertaining just in case the Saudi prince holds people hostage again.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Exactly. But it'll be ready to go, and you know, here he is. He can, but in that scenario of him and Elias at WrestleMania, that's what you call a filler match. It'll be a short and sweet one.
It's not a filler match, but it reeks of Chris Jericho. It reeks of Chris Jericho versus Fandango.
Okay.
It's just a match that just doesn't fit the profile of what you're going for.
I'm talking 5 minutes.
No, they'll give John Cena more than that unless Triple H wants to dip into his time. Somebody whose entrance takes more than 5 minutes is The Undertaker. Meltzer thinks that it's going to be Undertaker versus AJ Styles. I'm fine with it. AJ's a villain. AJ's going to lose. AJ's going to bump his ass off for Undertaker. No issues. Although, I try to put together video game matches.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, Taker versus AJ Styles is similar to Taker versus CM Punk. There's no real threat of AJ Styles actually winning this match in the same way that...
Yeah.
You put a proverbial gun to my head. I didn't think CM Punk was going to win, but I was kind of hoping for it.
Yeah, well, the story of the urn at that point in the streak.
But, I mean, AJ will try to do his best to make The Undertaker look good, and maybe you get another route of a wrestler against Undertaker. At least Undertaker will be on this year's WrestleMania because he wasn't on last year's, but he showed up the night after.
Yep. Well, yeah, he showed up the night after. He was backstage. They called the audible with him last year. And here he is here with AJ Styles. Like you said, he'll be doing all the work. AJ Styles has been out. He's been injured. So, you know, coming back, yeah, I'm going to challenge The Undertaker. You don't hear from The Taker for a little bit. And, again, for the WrestleMania moment, to have him out there, The Taker, and him and AJ Styles, I have no issue with that. I am more than happy with that. Taker, as you know, is my favorite of all time. So I am very pleased if he is going up with a performer such as AJ Styles, who, you know, top five, I'd say, on the main roster right now.
Somebody who I don't think you're a fan of, Meltzer doesn't think that Bill Goldberg will be on the WrestleMania card, which takes away a lot of fun fantasy booking for people who thought that Goldberg was going to beat The Fiend. I still think that's a possibility, and maybe it's just that I've talked myself into it. But Justin Barrasso from Sports Illustrated wrote about how Goldberg is at least in play to beat The Fiend, and Justin Barrasso is about as tapped in to the wrestling world as anybody else. So he's not just throwing crap against the wall.
No, he's
got somebody who has dropped that to him.
Yep.
But Bill Goldberg not on the WrestleMania card is a little surprising because, again, video game matches, him versus Cena, him versus AJ Styles, him versus Roman, him versus Bray Wyatt. There's a lot of stuff that you can do with Bill Goldberg, but according to Meltzer, Goldberg will not be at WrestleMania.
Well, I'm not going to buy into Meltzer's stock here, but
good job.
And I'm not. Never. And I'm not going to rule out Goldberg not being at WrestleMania. So never say never. Should he be the champion going into WrestleMania? No, I'm still taking the hard line on that one. It should be The Fiend going in as the champion. And Goldberg, I still think there is a possibility you will see him at Tampa at WrestleMania. So not ruling that out. If he's not there, yeah, like you said, not losing too much sleep on that one, James.
Before we get to the WrestleMania match everybody should watch on the road to WrestleMania, Mike, hit me with your lightning round.
Let's do it. So, No Holds Barred coming up this week on Monday Night Raw. Matt Hardy and Randy Orton. Matt Hardy's contract supposedly up on March the 1st. Yes or no, James, on the way he's being treated by the WWE here, kind of being buried, if you will, with his contract being expired.
So on TV, he is getting buried, but he's still got a match. So he's still getting some sort of TV time. But I bet that the payoffs he's getting are more than his contract would expect, because that's the old rule with Vince McMahon. He will pay you more on your way out as a way of being like, see what you're missing? I can mess with your money and I can give you more.
I like it too, exactly, because it's playing with his mind there. And Randy Orton too, just the storytelling on that, it just makes him look like that top heel he is right now. He might be the best heel in WWE right now.
When Randy Orton is motivated in a program, and Matt Hardy's going to bring the best out of you, and I think that Randy Orton has enough respect for Matt Hardy to be invested in this, and Randy Orton's going to be invested in this Edge program.
Yeah.
Randy Orton, few can touch him.
Yeah.
He's that good when he's motivated.
He's awesome. Very kind of an underappreciated guy.
We had that discussion about how talented he was and how great he was when motivated.
Exactly.
When motivated.
Yep. So Keith Lee, big win over Dominik Dijakovic at the NXT TakeOver. So Keith Lee, if he were to get the call up to the Raw or SmackDown roster, who would you have him feud against right away on Raw or SmackDown?
Brock Lesnar. Easy answer. It's Brock Lesnar because you had the teaser in the Royal Rumble match.
I'd say Brock or even Braun Strowman if you want to go that route. The two big guys right there. Can't go wrong with that. Let's jump over to AEW here. The Young Bucks. They have not won tag team gold yet in AEW in about the year it's been around. So Chris Jericho goes out on Twitter in their defense over the past couple of days saying that he appreciates the Young Bucks. He thinks they're a damn good tag team going after someone who was attacking them. James, are the Young Bucks just overrated or underappreciated?
So I don't think that they're overrated. I don't think they're underappreciated. I think what they are doing as vice presidents is they are trying to get other tag teams to a spot where they are legitimate threats to them, to the Lucha Brothers, and now to the weird tag team champions of Adam Page and Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And I think since the start of the year, you're starting to see the Young Bucks be the best tag team in the world as told to us by the hardcore wrestling fans. You, yourself, one of your favorite matches of all time was at a Ring of Honor show against the Viking Raider Warrior, whatever, Viking Experience, War Raiders, whatever they are.
Yep.
And that's a showcase for the Young Bucks and how good they can be. We saw them in New Orleans have a great ladder match.
Yep.
So they have the ability to be this top team, and they were using their position of power to not showcase themselves as far as winning matches. They had a great match against the Lucha Brothers back in Chicago at AEW's pay-per-view. One of the big matches of 2019. And so I think what you're going to see on Wednesday night is the Young Bucks are going to win the Battle Royal, and they're going to challenge Adam Page and Kenny Omega for the AEW Tag Team Championship in 2 weeks on February 29th at AEW's pay-per-view. And Page already handed them the nameplates.
Right.
So there's your story continuity.
Yeah, here you are, less than 2 weeks away from that right there. And it's just like, you know, you have a whole new audience here. You should want to know who the Young Bucks are. That's where I think they could have put the belts on them. But from your point, being from the vice president's putting others over, I get it. But from showing who they are as this tag team where people, you know, don't know much about them on the independent circuit or other promotions and so forth, now you have a brand new audience, AEW, I think they should have put the belts on them before this pay-per-view on February 29th.
They should have been the first AEW tag team champions.
Absolutely.
And they made the decision not to do that. And since the new year, Tony Khan has stepped in and is trying to make the Elite the Elite.
Yep. Yep. So there you go. And finally, this is our 23 years ago this week, China debuted in the WWF at the time. She took out Terry Runnels at the Fatal 4-Way Final Four pay-per-view right after the Royal Rumble 1997. China, of course, was a member of the D-Generation X class Hall of Fame in 2019 as a group there. Will China and should China go into the WWE Hall of Fame as an individual?
Yes, she should. When she does is probably a lot of years away.
Mm.
And I say that because she did an interview with Tutcher and Rich and said Triple H physically abused her.
Right.
So that's out there. So should she be in the Hall of Fame? Yes. Will she? Ultimately, yes, she'll go in, but it's going to be a while. Because I don't necessarily think that they wanted to put China in with the DX crew. Even though, like, what she did, being as different a female performer as she was, unique athlete, like, she was important to that group.
Yeah.
She was very important to that group. She was a different type of heater manager. So she should be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well,
she drew a lot of money, too. She drew a lot of money.
Well, yeah, and then she was also Intercontinental Champion. She fought with the males, too. And, you know, being at that Hall of Fame last year with the Thank You China chant, that was unbelievable. And Triple H to go up there and to talk about her like that, you know, that can't be an easy thing. But, yeah, it will probably take, I'd say, at least maybe I'll go 8 years minimum before she goes in individually. So there you go. China, 23 years ago, debuting. Unfortunately, she has been gone about 5 years now, 4 years.
One of the things about that February 16th, 1997, In Your House Final Four, it's actually, if you go back and you watch the main event, Bret wins the WWF Championship over Undertaker, Vader, and Steve Austin. That Final Four match was outstanding and really worth your time to go back and watch. It's a follow-up from the 97 Royal Rumble that got changed from who was going to fight Shawn Michaels for the title to an actual title match because Shawn lost his smile, handed over the title in Lowell, Massachusetts. But that Final Four match on that pay-per-view, hell of a match.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the WrestleMania match that you should watch, as we're on our road to WrestleMania, Mike and I are going to give you each a match that we feel like you should go back and watch. Mm-hmm. Mine pertains to WrestleMania 18, and it's The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. And that idea, I admit, sparked from the Conrad Thompson JR podcast. They were talking about it on Grilling JR. So I went back and I watched it, and it lived up to the hype because it's kind of what the circus is supposed to be all about, right? It's these two big stars finally getting face-to-face. And in Toronto, WrestleMania 18, the intros, the fans were all into Hogan. The crowd was just so overly invested in that match. From the time The Rock's music stopped to when the bell rang, the crowd was going crazy for everything. Every Hulk Hogan comeback, and Hulk Hogan was supposed to be the villain here, as he was part of the NWO with Hall and Nash, who had just injected their poison into the WWF. But the Rock's offensive moves, the crowd just booed and booed and booed and booed. I mean, Hogan is working about as viciously villain as he ever had, and the crowd just cheered it all. Hogan bit the Rock. But the comeback, the Hogan comeback, was just amazing. You could feel it, and Hulk was feeling it in the ring. And the crowd seemed legit miffed that the Rock kicked out of the Hogan leg drop. Is it the most sound or smooth match in the world? No. But something that's into play right now about wrestling is the nostalgia feel. And Toronto for WrestleMania 18, Hogan Rock, had that nostalgia feel. And, you know, whether it's Goldberg, it's Ric Flair, it's Hogan, it's The Rock, they're all spiking nostalgia pops because that's our childhood. And the wrestling demographic is, you know, the big TV ratings are 50 plus. You know, I'm 39, you're 35.
Yep. I was senior in high school that match. And, you know, just real quick, I'll let you finish. But just watching that, like you said, you know, growing up, Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
He's my favorite.
It's Hogan, brother.
Then it's The Rock. It's like, holy cow, this is a dream, you know?
So going back and watching that WrestleMania 18 match, I didn't remember anything from it other than the crowd was really into it. What I actually remember more was the next night in Montreal, where it was the 20-minute ovation for Hulk Hogan, which ultimately led to a whole bunch of other booking plans changing. Mm-hmm. But it's a match if you want to feel like the electricity of a singular match, a singular wrestling match. I think WrestleMania 18 and Rock versus Hulk Hogan is the one to go do.
On St. Patrick's Day 2002. You know, the other thing, I remember Bruce Pritchard talking about this in his podcast, James, that, you know, obviously that 20-minute ovation there in Montreal, that they had a SmackDown taping later that week or the day after. Hogan had to fly back to Tampa to get his red and yellow outfit to bring back to Canada, wherever they were going to be after that, because he didn't have it with him. He was all NWO. So pretty crazy. All right, so the one I chose, and I know you gave us the Hogan Macho Man last week for WrestleMania 5. I ended up watching that. Awesome, the Mega Power one. I gave you the latter one of Razor and Shawn. But this week, I'm going to go back to 1997. It was the month after the Fatal 4-Way, and it was March 23rd in 1997 in Chicago. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret the Hitman Hart. Wow. It was the submission match. And then, of course, Ken Shamrock as the special guest referee. You know, at the time, MMA was the real badass of submission. And reading up on this, Vince wanted that real, you know, figurehead for MMA to be a part of this. Ken Shamrock was the guy. And, you know, this match was not supposed to happen. It was supposed to be Bret and Shawn Michaels after Bret lost
That's
to
Bret's
Shawn.
Story.
That's Bret's story.
That's
yes.
Bret's story.
That's his story, yes. And then, of course, you know, Shawn surrenders the title and the whole nine yards going into it. But the double turn, it's a very difficult thing to do, and it happened. Stone Cold, you have a company at the time of the NWO going up against your WWF, and you needed to create that new superstar. Austin 316 still riding on it from a year before of King of the Ring. Stone Cold Steve Austin, this was really the moment where he said, all right, I'm going to take the torch. I'm going to do this. I can do it. I'll be your guy here, Vince. I'll be your guy to do whatever is necessary. And Brett became that heel. The minute he became that heel was when Ken Shamrock gave him the suplex. It took a step back, and boom, that's when your heel was born right there with Brett the Hitman Hart. Watch that match. The blood, the submission. James, it was not a real wrestling match, I thought. Not a sports entertainment wrestling match. It was like an old school wrestling match.
It was a schoolyard fight. And
awesome.
This match is fabulous. It's one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. It's one of my favorite matches of all time. There's just so much realism and good psychology in it. It's two of my favorites in Bret Hart and Steve Austin. Yep. I think Bret Hart called this one of his favorite matches of all time. I think that if I remember correctly, Bret and Steve have both done interviews and they've said that a lot of this match was called on the fly with just a handful of bullet points.
Yeah.
If you watch and listen to the commentary, Vince is amazing. And JR and King fill in the gaps very well because Vince knows where everything is going. And right. JR and King can just follow his lead and fill in where they need to.
And that was Vince's last WrestleMania call on the pay-per-view. He did not call WrestleMania after that. That was it. His last ever pay-per-view was that Hell in the Cell where that's got to be Kane. But that was his last ever WrestleMania on the commentary table. So.
And I think, I know I've heard Steve Austin talk about this. When Steve gets the gusher,
yeah,
you can't, he can point out where it happened, but if yes. you watch the tape, you can't see Brett do business,
yeah,
as they would say, do business.
Right.
Right. And it looks like he hits that guardrail, and the next thing you know, Jerry Lawler's notes are splattered with blood.
It just came out of nowhere.
But Brett goes in and lays him right in and opens him up, and you can't prove how Brett did it unless yeah. you're looking for it. Because I think Vince tried.
He tried. Yeah, and you still had that Chicago street fight after, and then The Undertaker, Sid, for the main event, and just the blood was all over the ring canvas. It was, wow. The damage had been done. The mark had been made. That right there is probably, in any wrestling fan, James, I'd say a top three, top five WrestleMania match all time.
Yeah, I would put it in my top five. I'd probably put it in my top two or three. I'd have to think about like my top ones, not just like favorites to go back and watch.
Yeah, it's right up there for any fan. And if you haven't seen it, do it.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart, and we will talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.